Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we got to do
this. You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live. 347-637-3942.
That's right. This is the American Legion Show, your host, Kevin White. Tonight, we're going to talk about community stuff, local events, current events across the USA. Let's get back on here. And my guest, one of my guests tonight is Mr. James Bostic, another host from the Patriot Nation Radio. This is the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Coming to you out of Florida, West Virginia, Ohio, and other states. Pennsylvania, I know, is the other one. And Kentucky. Yes, we have all that covered. Welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm looking forward to this. I don't get, in the nature of my schedule, sometimes I don't get to guest as often as I would like. So it's a treat to be a guest, and more importantly, it's a treat to be a guest here with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. So tonight we're going to talk about a myriad of things, and I'm actually simulcasting radio and stations, and I have two other places this is going to go. So this is going to go all around the world with Blog Talk, and it's going to go to points west in California later on. So, and we're also going to put it on Rumble. We're going to get this out, and I think this is going to be a fantastic show because there's so many things happening right now this time of the year, and in the United States, the country elections are just finished, and yeah, finished all right. You can say whatever you want about it, but some things are kind of fishy, just my opinion. And that's what this is all about, only my opinion, not giving anybody any advice or anything else. It's just me and James and other people who want to join, and that's the magic of today. You can join us on the link that I provided in the promo, and you can get on and be a guest too. And I have people, I love other people's opinions. Because, you know, my opinion is, you know, so much, but other people have the same thing, and we can get consensus together, and we can work things out. But we don't give. Isn't that right, James? We don't budge.
From a conservative perspective. And you know, the thing about this is the folks that we expect to be objective in the news media, the establishment media, and gone are the days of Ted Huntley and David Brinkley and Walter Cronkite and folks that, you know, had political opinions because they're humans. But at the same time, there was a discipline to adhere as closely to objectivity and balance as you could. And we don't see that today. And I make no bones about it. When I'm talking to you from a point of view that resonates with me, it's going to be a conservative.
Right.
And I think, by and large, what's going on, I think, by and large, we're still a center-right nation. And I think that, well, the cliche term, I guess, would be the silent majority. And I still believe in them. I still believe it's out there. But the left, the progressive left, has all the avenues of information so sewn up. The news media, whether it's in print or video, you know, it's electronic or entertainment or newspaper, it doesn't matter what it is. When it comes to opinions and, you know, a freer or more open discourse of right and left, you just don't have it. And we're operating from a distinct disadvantage when it comes to messaging, when it comes to trying to have reasonable debate or political discourse, you know, discussions of any kind, because everything's gone so tribal, and, you know, it's us or them, and that mentality is really prevailing in American politics today. It's always been adversarial, but it's gone to a point in the last 12 years. It's worse than what it was in the 60s.
So it's like the bully versus the milkman is what's going on. So you got tactics. People, you know, it's almost like a religion when you go all in to the point where you start, you know, cheating or you know, I think like on Facebook especially, the fact checkers, and we know the thing is true. You can say, hey, this is something I found on the website, and it's the truth. But just look at fact check because it doesn't meet somebody's goal. And it's the same thing like when Elon Musk took over Twitter. Twitter used to be free speech, and it's turning that way again. But, I mean, so many people got kicked off for their own opinions, and it's okay to have two opinions, more than one. And it's not about Democrats or Republicans. It's about people who support things like transgender education. You know, on the face of it, there's nothing good about that. The kids don't need to know. They don't have – they're just there for education. You're a teacher. Could you talk about that?
I have some very, very idiots criminal.
Yes. I agree.
Can't buy a beer in any place until you're 21. Or smoke. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Turn your country at 18 and they continue to go get blown apart in some foreign land. But you can't come here and, you know, you can't vote until you're 21. Why? Because this is what they have considered to be an age of maturity, of responsibility, of someone, in other words, who's capable of making critical decisions, permanent decisions. And they want to introduce this, I don't even know what to call it, this evil.
Right.
This malignant thinking, you know, into 6, 7-year-old kids, 5-year-old kids, they don't have any business knowing these things.
Exactly, yeah, I agree.
And again, now, the area where I live, in the Mountain State of West Virginia, we have a very student, child-oriented Board of Education. These are responsible people, and in the 18 years that I've been in the school business, they've done overall what's been right for the children of their school system. They pay attention to parents. They're open in their meetings. And they have a good, solid curriculum in the elementary and secondary schools. And these social experiments were really mandates. You could almost say policy mandates. It has to reach a point where the parents, who've already been vilified enough, get the Department of Justice call parents who are concerned about these things domestic terrorists.
Right.
Okay, that shows you how far they're willing to implement this as policy, as a mandate. That's how strongly they feel about this. You know, they're going to make parents caring and being concerned and loving their children and wanting to protect them from this criminal, when in reality, criminality that's taking place here is against these children with these advocates of this lunacy, mutilation. It's irreversible, and nobody talks about the recidivism or the level of regret once they go all the way.
And yeah, right. Yeah.
It's all complete, and then within 3 to 5 years, they're like, oh my God, what have I done? And you can't go back.
That's right. It's impossible. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't go back to the doctor and say, you know, doc, I think I might have made a mistake.
Because it's not right. You're playing with God, you know, and you can't be what you're not.
The term I came up with when I was, you know, this has been in the news for a long time. But long, I mean, was biologically authentic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And these people that wish to transition one way or another, they're not biologically authentic. Now, I don't care who you are, and there were people, one of the Castro brothers who was running for president, during a debate said, yes, I believe that we need to have abortion services made available to transgender men.
Right. Yeah.
Transgender men. They can't get pregnant. They get all that crap done. They still can't get pregnant. But we're going to give them abortion services. I got this one. That's what we're about. That's America, baby. And it's just, the inmates are running the asylum.
I totally agree. And joining us now is Mr. Ronald F. Owens, Jr. Welcome back, a frequent guest on this program. Meet James Bostic, another host from the PNR Network.
Hello, Mr. Owens. Good to meet you. Mr. Bostic, B-U-S-T-I-C.
B-U-S-T-I-C-K. Okay. Oh, I spelled it wrong.
It's a common. Well, no, it's okay. What happened was, and because there is a B-U-S-T-I-C, during the Depression, some of the families had to sell off the K to get through the hard times.
Really?
But my family was lucky we were able to keep it.
Okay. Sounds okay to me.
Mr. James Bostic.
We were talking about, I don't know if you heard the subject or not, just current events, actually right now we were talking about what's going on in the schools with transgender options. If you give somebody options, somebody might take it and it won't be working out for them. So what's your opinion on this?
What can I say? There's something that I heard that Planned Parenthood is hitching its wagon to this, as well as school districts, because they can make.
Yes, right.
It's all about money.
Yeah, that's what it is, because you pay the school enough, they'll do whatever you want them to. And the, you know, you saw Swalwell last week, what he said. Parents shouldn't have anything to do with education. It's not the parent, the school that makes those decisions. Sitting Congress or Senator, I can't remember what he is. He's an idiot, but, you know, he's saying you have no right. Yeah, you have no right to say what your kids are doing at school. Yes. He's got the Chinese girlfriend, too. Mr. Doug Stack, welcome to the program.
Nice.
Nice to have you with a great bunch of people here. So I know you only have a few minutes. So what's your opinion on that? I'd like to know. We didn't get to talk politics last time.
For the most part, since the election, the presidential election, because all it was doing was raising my blood pressure and giving me heart problems. I pay attention, but I don't, you know, involve my whole life around it because, honestly, it gives me health problems. I mean, the stupidity coming out of everybody's mouth is beyond belief, really. I'm just wondering how they can say what they say and people actually believe what's coming out of their mouth.
Right, I agree. So this is. Go ahead.
I'm trying to see people's names. I gotta take my glasses off. Hello.
Yeah, it says Grumpy.
Okay. It says Grumpy. What was the most absurd thing that increased your blood pressure? I'm curious.
Don't send it back. Your remission.
I gotta think back. I mean, there's so much, but pretty much. When they brought Trump up on the impeachment with that phone call to the Ukraine. Now, it was a phone call. I don't think it was a perfect phone call like Trump says, but I don't even understand why we know what was in that conversation. Never before have they taken transcripts and showed them out to the public of two leaders talking to each other.
Right.
Why that was put out in public is beyond me. It was pretty much to get him, to throw him under the bus. But that and how Nancy Pelosi had had said something about the smear campaign.
Yeah.
Throw something out there, you know it's not true, but the media grabs onto it,
right?
And in everybody's eyes, you know, well, not everybody's, but the ones that are want to have something against them, they'll continue to believe it, even when it's disproved.
It's kind of like the her husband story too, you know, where things don't add up. You know what I mean? Paul Pelosi.
I got put in Facebook jail just by stating that there's something more.
Really? Really?
Oh, yeah.
I was put in Facebook jail for making that post.
Wow.
Well, for the most part, I've stayed out of Facebook jail since I got off the political posting that I used to do. And I actually got jailed about a month and a half ago for 24 hours for something that I posted in 2015.
Wow. Nice.
7 years ago?
Yeah.
There's a badge for
it
that. There are none. There are none. So, yeah, this is Doug Stack. I had him on a couple weeks ago, and I think he was 450 pounds, and that was 170. Is that right? In his
450 down to 172.
I was off by 2 pounds. You could have given that. That was a gimme. Yeah, so he's an inspiration and great advice. I know you don't have long to talk or anything, but if you have more time, you can go now if you want, sir. Or you can stay. I want to go back up to Mr. Bostic.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I gotta take the old man to. He's got a sleep study test, so
okay.
I gotta run and do that.
Okay. Hey, good luck. See you later.
That's right. Good seeing you, James. All right.
Yeah, you already know him. You know, yeah, I know you're friends with him, James. So yeah, I think this thing that happened with FTX, Mr. Owens. The FTX, you know, James is the crypto clerk. Well, this is kind of like related to. I think this is something that got Pelosi out of the headlines. This is a big story.
Yeah.
So that was. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that just made me tired thinking about it because everything changed on that story every single time, every day. There are three people. There are two people. No, he did it. They did it. Nothing adds up. So, and he's a conservative? I don't think so. But anyway, FTX. This is pretty. Right. Yeah, you're right.
And, you know, we don't have to get all lurid about it. We know the deal.
Right.
And it's just, they're not going to go with that. That's not.
That's not going to happen. Got so much power they have. They control the police department down there. That's
coming from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
That's how much juice these people have.
Yeah.
And that's not what this is supposed to be.
That's the American dream for them. You're right, James. You're right.
What you're talking about with FTX.
Explain to Ron what that is and the rest of our audience if people don't know.
Well, I'm not really that well versed on it, but the cryptocurrency thing has been around for about a decade or so, and in some areas and in some applications, apparently it has grown roots, and it's a big money thing. I mean, how it works. These people, you know, just as the United States has currency, solvent entities, I suppose, generate their own currency for projects or whatever, or investments, and a lot of people are getting into it. Well, it's called FTX. That's the name of this digital company. And they're going great guns. Things are looking good. The money is pouring.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's a river. If you can't stop it,
It's like Scrooge McDuck. They got the giant vault, and they dive into Bitcoins, they swim around, and it's just wonderful. And then last weekend, they come up $8 billion short.
Oh,
nobody knows how. It's just, now you see it, now you know.
I know.
The guy's name that runs it, and he's a Democrat, mega donor. His name is Sam Bankman-Fried. And he tells his investors, you know, we're $8 billion short. I'm not real sure what happened. I've effed up. Whoops. And so in the meantime, he's tried to raise money to cover the $8 billion that nobody knows what the hell happened to.
Well, they do now. They do now.
So what he figured he would do is he would put up, he hawked his penthouse. He's got a 12,000 square foot penthouse in the Bahamas, and got a bid of $39 billion. Out of the $8 billion,
that's not enough. Yeah.
And nobody knows what the hell happened to him. And the problem is, it's not going to be limited, I don't think, this particular institution, this digital currency group. I saw something earlier where there's another company out there, Breitbart was covering this. There's another company out there that's same deal, and they're losing a profit. Let's see here.
The thing is...
Oh, don't worry. The house representative is going to look at it. They're going to investigate this.
You know why? Because they're involved in it. That's the thing. This is a big, huge, this is a bigger scandal than just that, because I think they, Friedman, this guy, there was no book. They would take money from people who deposited and use it on their own thing, putting it in this other company without telling them, which is illegal. Tom Brady's in it, other athletes, you know, they have FTX from these stadiums down south, different places. This is huge. He's the next biggest donor to the Democrats after that guy, George Soros. He is number two guy, and he got all this money, and it was all a Ponzi scheme. And he's the next Bernie Madoff. So this, and okay, so he's been seeing the SEC chairman on and off. So here's the connection. His mom and dad and his partner, girlfriend's mom and dad, are like Harvard professors or something like that. One of them was the boss of the SEC chairman, the current SEC, so he's in on it. He's in with them. So he might be going down too. And they were giving him advice, like this was done on purpose, but now they're caught in the middle. And then the money they were making, all the money going to Ukraine, this is the funniest part. The money going to Ukraine that we see, the $30 billion, goes through that company. Some get siphoned off and goes to the Democrat Party. And that's what they use for the election. Yes.
Well, yeah, that makes sense, because the State Department has been laundering money through Ukraine for a long, long time.
Right.
The guy, Stumpdance, over at Conservative Treehouse, if you follow those folks over there, they've been talking about from the get-go that the reason that the United States, well, the Biden administration, you know, sat up straight and started clutching their pearls over the fact that Putin decided he wanted to relive the glory days, you know, of the 70s, 60s, 70s, and there's just all kinds of State Department money running through there.
Right. Right.
And the State Department has a really convoluted relationship with the DNC,
mm-hmm.
and Hillary Clinton,
yeah.
the old Hillary Clinton campaign.
Right.
And it's still in place. It's still in place. That was the conduit that they used to run that whole Russian dossier with Christopher Steele and satellite people from the State Department and the CIA who wound up working for Greenwald doing all this stuff. And that was back and forth between them. And that was the back-channel communications network that was used to orchestrate all that. And then when you've got the heads of the intelligence communities running interference
mm-hmm.
and telling a trusting public, No, that whole laptop thing is Russian disinformation. Yeah, we see this stuff all the time. And it's
Russian disinformation.
And they run this firewall, this interference form, that they, and the networks, new people are all in on this, and everything has worked in the direction of lending legitimacy to these crazy stories that are all, you know, bullshit from the start.
Right. What do you say, Ronald?
And if we can, and if you talk about this in the right circles, you're going to be looked at askance.
Right.
But we're not nuts. We know what we know, and we see through the mirage, the hologram, or whatever you want to call it.
You know what bothers me? I developed this phrase years ago. If you're going to do it wrong, do it right.
I like it.
Okay, so basically, years ago, I heard on the news, this is like 30 years ago, Highway Patrol saw this truck pulling a trailer and something about protecting two lights, two lights. So he pulled the motorist over. Motorist guy got out of his pickup truck, and Highway Patrol got out of his car and bounced on the rear of the trailer. And so the Highway Patrol said, open up the back of that trailer. The driver opened it up, and there was a freezer there. Wow, the pungent smell was overwhelming. And so the Highway Patrol was really suspicious at this point. Open up that freezer. Guy opened up the freezer, and it was the body of his significant other. So when I heard that story years ago, of course I was suspicious. If you're going to do it wrong, do it right. If you're going to kill somebody, don't pull the person around in the trailer. What do you do? Bury them in a shallow grave.
That's so cliché, though, Ronald.
So anyway,
you want to
do it wrong, do it wrong. You like pad your pocket. Can you at least look after your constituents and that taxes? Leave their burden? I mean, just like they want to just pad their pockets, and then not only that, they want to, you know, impose late thievery on us with more regulations or more taxes. So, I mean, I couldn't in good conscience. I mean, my thing is I'm going to have, if I was a politician, if I was going to pat my pocket, I would at least kind of look after my constituents and make their life a little bit easier. Go do wrong. Do right. Do right by the people. Let them have a little bit, but don't impose more taxes on them or whatever. That's my point.
And I agree totally. I mean, The I think the higher up in politics you wind up, the narrower that constituency becomes. And a good example is the Biden family. Another good example would be Mitch McConnell. And what happens is they begin to look to theirs and none others. You know,
right.
And that's a very solid point. And I agree with you totally. It would only make good sense to do it the way that you're talking. Make yourself beloved of the people.
Yeah.
Okay. And just shim-sham the do right by them. And if you do that, you'll become richer than Christmas.
Exactly.
And you won't have to do anything bad or wrong to achieve that, to be showered upon. time with Orrin Hatch, and
that's what happened.
Then, you know, as a remedy to this, people will talk about term limits, and I can agree with that. But on the other side of that coin, Ronald, I think that my philosophy is, if you voted them in, you don't like what they're doing, you can vote them out. And that kind of, to me, obviates the need for term limits, because no self-respecting politician worthy of calling himself a politician is going to vote for term limits. Men of principle will adhere to it.
Yeah.
With that, you know what I mean? Send me to Washington for 2 terms, I'll do my best, and after that, I'm gone. And then
years ago, when I was sitting back, I was taking California State Governor, it was Joe Cerna. When he was a young man, he walked with the migrant worker, Sergio Chavez, back in the day. And so Cerna, at that time, had ran for mayor of Sacramento, but he had lost against Ann Rooney, I think that was his name. So we're sitting in there in his government class, and he asked, so what's the purpose of going into politics? What is the purpose of a politician?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all sitting there, you know, raising our hand, oh, the pleasure of the people. Oh, it's to, you know, oh, it's to help people out. And he said, no. He's sitting on the side of his desk, no. That's not it. That's not it. And we all were like, okay, well, why? Because the purpose of a politician is to get elected and stay elected. That's it.
Yeah.
Honest response from a Democrat, too, by the way, politician I have ever heard. Their purpose is not to do anything, it is to get elected and stay elected. Case closed. I mean, my late mother would ask, well, how come politicians can't help the people? And so good people, probably like your loved one, are asking these questions. Why can't they do good by the people? And it basically, we're trying to judge these people by our virtuous
sense. Right.
And once we understand that that's not what they're about. That's not what they're about.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. We view them through the prism of ourselves and that idealized vision that we have of what a good politician is. And that is a servant of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I think that's the intention, but once they get there, things change, and they're bought off or they're threatened or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. I don't.
All of the money has a very strong feel.
They get, you know, the free stocks, you know, they make $1 million the first year, they get bribed, you know, they're so open to whatever people want to do to them. They're manipulated, actually instruments of other people with power when they get there. No, I have not. I sounds kind of familiar.
Platform, he tells this story, and I just heard it a couple of days ago from Sarah Westall. She and Dr. Mary in the RI club, they were talking about human trafficking and how trafficking, particularly young people, kids across the border, is how they control the political class. And so Sarah was telling her audience about Dr. Dave Janda, was an official in the George H.W. Bush administration, and he was pulled aside by somebody who said, warned him, don't go to any of these parties.
Interesting.
Because he said he was told that they put stuff in their drink, and then the person is like, wakes up, and there's
an
envelope on their chest. Pull out the photograph, and they have compromised doing the way with the child.
Wow.
That happened. And so, like you said, Kevin, some of these people are compromised. Some of these people are bribed. Even some of their families are threatened. This guy, that Rosenstein, the number one, number two guy, the DOJ, he had what you call a dirty trick squad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yep. Seen that.
Department.
Yeah.
Federal Department.
FBI.
FBI, what do you call it, drug DEA.
Brown shirt, yeah.
Exactly, going around just basically just they were just like thugs.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, that takes a special class of people. Some of those are attorneys, too.
Yeah.
Incredible what we have in D.C. against the people.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not surprised at all. You have to be in power to keep power. And I know people – remember that guy that went to D.C.? He was a Democrat, and all he did as a congressman was to raise money 24/7. And he quit because it was like nothing like he thought. He didn't have anything to do, but he was at the control of, because you're a freshman, which shouldn't make any difference. If you're a senior in Congress, you need to get out. So I think, like they used to do, just go there, do your job and vote, and then go for 3 days, then you go back home or whatever it takes. You can do it from your house.
And I believe that somebody wants out, but they can't get out, like McConnell.
Right.
He kind of wants to retire.
Yeah.
He's married to, I forgot his wife's name.
Chinese shipping magnate. Yes.
Yeah, connected to the. So they probably said, you stay in there, Buster. Well,
right.
If there's one guy who has made more money from the Chinese than Joe Biden, it's probably Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
His father-in-law is the principal Chinese freight builder. I mean, there's overseas shipping. If you want something on a ship to go from China to the United States, the odds are his father-in-law built the damn thing.
Right.
And so in other words, that is an arm, not a militant arm, but an extension of the communist Chinese government. Because
exactly. He's
not building these ships for anybody else. He's building them for the People's Republic exclusively. And I think, well, in the book Secret Empire, Steve Fleischer's book, Secret Empires, they talk about this, and I think it was $1 million as a wedding gift, and then there were certain amount of loans that were arranged.
Wow. You know,
he's deep in the communist Chinese pocket.
So,
as
right.
As Joe Biden. You're right. He's not going to go anywhere until they've decided they can't exploit it. They can't exploit it.
If I had that, go ahead. If I had that kind of relationship with somebody, I'd lose my clearance from government, because you don't deal with Chinese. You don't get, you can't have TikTok. There's a lot of things you can't do, but they got, it's crazy. People in Congress are exempt from reality and from other federal employees and other people, because that's where they have nobody's watching them. Nobody has control over those people. They have their own army. Exactly. Yep. Go ahead, Mr. Owens.
Yeah, you're talking about Joe Biden. This was reported, early 2020. The Biden family owned an island near Epstein Island.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular island was a World War II submarine base. And that the Bidens owned that island, they never developed it. They just kept it the way it was. And so we were kind of connecting a little bit of dots here. You can think about Ray Maxwell.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She had a submarine license.
Yes.
Okay. And so theorized, allegedly, that island could be used to transport kids to dock in that particular island. And in addition to that, the former president of the NFL League Association, I can't remember his name, I have to look it up, he was Senator Joe Biden's aide.
Mm-hmm.
And was also involved with the acquisition or the selling of this island. So when you talk about this island, NFL players, NFL Referee Association president, okay, is there human trafficking in the NFL? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
That there probably is.
Yes.
It is an evil that I, it's cancerous. I think in how widespread and how deeply embedded that we're going to find out one day, and we will. Truth will out. It always does. You know, we're going to be sickened, and probably, you know, a lot of us are now. That's what's going on. But at the depth, at the number of people that we're going to see that we're involved in this, people that we thought were heroes, people that we thought were genuinely good people, I think, are going to get all caught up in this. And like I said, one day it's going to happen. And I think it's going to shatter a lot of people's concepts of just what really is going on in this world. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, they used to teach us, we got briefed every year on human trafficking in the military. Where I kept thinking, why are they bringing this up? But if you go to some of these other countries, things like that are legal, and they get kids from there or whatever. And you might be a customer of one of the kids if you partake in those kind of things, which I never did, by the way. Just keep that record straight. This is something that it's a real thing. It's become more real since I retired. I actually see what's happening around the world. And you see people get caught up in these things, and the people with the power get away with it. And that's exactly what's happening. Nothing's happened to anybody except for your Joe Schmo on the street or something. They go to jail. And I think molesting a child is 11 months max. So isn't that crazy? If you rape an adult, you get a longer sentence, it seems, than somebody who hurts a child. And that's different than human trafficking, but it's the same. It's the same thing. If you want a child, you could buy a child. Especially, probably closer to the border states like California, is probably more rampant because of the influx of it's like people bring the kids across the border. They do everything to those kids, and everything. Those kids are so messed up.
Yeah, matter of fact, I understand those kids literally. They have like a 3-year shelf.
Wow, that's crazy. Whoa.
And I use that word on purpose. Mm-hmm. Shelf life.
Right.
Because they're a commodity.
Just you to make a commodity.
A disposable commodity.
Exactly.
What kind of society is it?
It's evil.
This is not an advanced or civilized society that deals with their elderly.
Right.
Children, the way that we do here in the United States.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And it doesn't stop there, gentlemen. It doesn't stop there. After the organs are harvested and they're incinerated and carbon and the big diamond.
What?
Yes.
Wow. You're right. I mean, this is pretty deep. This is deep stuff. And
it's horrifying. It's horrifying. I mean, we look back, and when I was a youngster, growing up in the late 60s and early 70s, the memories of World War II were still very green.
Mm-hmm.
My uncles who fought in that war were still relatively young men in their mid-late 40s, early 50s. And it was rare, and I think it was just a characteristic or quality of those fellows at that time. They never talked about their experiences in the war. And, you know, they're kids my age and all my cousins, and, you know, we're here taking a little daylight out of them because we want to know, is it what we saw in Sands of Iwo Jima? Is it what we saw in the Hell and Back with Audie Murphy? Because, you know, you have this glorified vision of the war through movies. And we spoke about it one time. I have an uncle who was he was in Solomon Islands, 28 days straight, not a change of clothes, not a change of socks, not a change of drawers, not a change of fatigue, nothing. They probably were able to rinse off in the stream here and there and get the crudies out, you know, get them flushed away. But the thing he said, and he talked about one time, and I was teased, I'll never forget it, and it was pretty graphic, story about what had happened, and the last thing he said about it was that they were devils. We had to kill them, they were devils, because of the horror of combat, that nature of combat, and all the atrocities that we think about from the Second World War. with the Japanese prison camps and what they were doing.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
So the Germans and the Nazi Party and these horrible things. And we're shocked and we think, oh, thank heavens we fought that war so that things won't happen.
Right. Yeah.
But and here we are, 80 years later, talking about the same kind of atrocity all over the world. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
It's just evil. You're evil. It's amazing. So, Mr. Owens, you are a walking encyclopedia. Ronald, he knows things off the top of his head, and he amazes me every single time he's been on. So thank you for bringing that fact up, because I would never have remembered him. So, but you have like, how many books do you have out?
Five books,
yeah. Okay.
All five of the books in what you call it, paperback.
Mm-hmm.
And two books. But I narrated four of those in Hollywood.
Yeah, that sounds like a tall task.
Yeah.
And James, your show is a conservative perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yes, it is. We do it, live, as you know, a couple nights a week. Right now, I'm kind of in a state of flux, and I think the program is going to be moving to Mondays.
Okay.
At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 to 9. BlogTalkRadio.com, you go to Patriot Nation Radio, and you can look this up. And then, of course, I'll still be doing the Thursday night show with Mark Hoffman and Patriot Nation Radio Live. And there is a recorded incarnation program on the Mojo 50 Radio Network. Mm-hmm. You can go to Mojo50.com. It's Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, but it's also archived, so you can find it in there and listen to it at your leisure.
So I kind of threw you guys off. It's not the end of the show yet. I just want you to plug your stuff. I just want you to plug your stuff. Yes, go ahead.
It's RonaldAR.com. Ronald, F-O-N-J-R. Matter of fact, it's my name, which is displayed there, is .com to it.
Okay, right. Good. I like to promote people on the show and things they have. And Ronald F. Owen is an Oreo too. Just wanted to point that out to everybody. Both of us.
Oh yeah, I've heard it. Yeah. I've known Kevin for a couple of years now, and I've read the book.
And he had to be on the show for that.
Thanks. I've seen a couple of great guys that I've enjoyed talking.
And yeah, we met down at Rock the Red.
You guys were launching out into I commend you guys for launching out into the podcast ocean.
Okay.
And I've been thinking about doing it. Yes. I really should. I'm really comfortable sitting behind a keyboard writing. So appearing in front of camera, talking about a microphone, I'm totally getting it.
So, Mr. Owens, I know people. He's a great guest. And as a network, I can get you on too if you're interested. And it's more national than this one, but I do on my own. So, and I'm involved in that too. As a matter of fact, it's called the Next Gen USA. And I think you'd be great on it if you decided to go that way. And you don't have to do, there's no schedule or anything. You just do what you can. So.
I should do it regularly. I really should. There's a lot of issues, particularly against California.
Yeah.
The boss, the guy lives in California, in the Sacramento region, specifically Elk Grove. And I was talking to a like-minded sister in Christ earlier this week about becoming more and more vocal about what's going on here. Because we need strong black. We didn't get curious, but I'm talking to brothers right now. I mean, I don't know if you guys know about Judge Joe Brown. I love that.
Straight up guy.
And also, I don't know if you
these guys been living on your radar screen, they have been.
Really?
The coach of Jackson State, they're 9-0, which is fine. It's impressive. But I like how he inspirational speeches that he gives to the men there, young men. He says, he told the parents, when you guys send your guys' boys to Jackson State, I'm going to make them become men. So start looking at some of Deion Sanders' pre-game speeches, post-game speeches. He really is, I believe, probably one of the strongest black male role models right now.
Really?
He brought up the mainstream, they're trying to push the gender fluidity on black men.
Right, right.
Black men.
Yes.
I mean,
Hollywood.
He really called the second king, queen, whatever that movie that came out.
Right.
I haven't watched, and I really don't intend to watch the Wakanda.
Me too. Me neither.
They glorify women, put down men. So it's just good to see like Judge Joe Brown and see like Deion Sanders, who is kind of like our age bracket. He's becoming an icon, but he starts the age bracket, and so he's having an influence on young men on this football team.
That's fantastic. I like that.
You know, I think culturally, there's been an emasculation, I think, of males in American culture for a long time, regardless of black or white.
I agree. And
there's not only a shortage of, well, I don't think there's a shortage. I think that there's a lot of strong black men out there that are competent leaders, that are good, solid men. Tony Dungy's another good example of what you were talking about, Rob. But just good, solid, strong leaders all the way across the board. And we need to see a resurgence of that, because it's those characteristics, it's those qualifications that made America what it is. And we would be considerably less without, and we are considerably less without that. And that needs to be resurrected, and that needs to be upheld. That is essential to this country's survival.
Yeah.
As we...
I have seen these videos, short with the women. Oh, I don't need no man. And so the person asked, okay, well, what happens if you need to have your car repaired? You know? What happens if you have to have the plumbing done in your house or your apartment? I mean, where are you going to go if the guy was laying it all out, you know? Hello?
Well, is there any assistance? I need an all-female plumbing company.
Okay.
It still works the other way around, too. I don't need a woman or whatever. But, you know, you need a mom. You need that. We need each other. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we need each other.
Exactly. And the sum is greater, you know, than the totality of the sparks. I mean, it's what you look at together rather than just one.
Right. I totally agree, yes. We need each other. There's a reason why they're here. I mean, we don't – all the animals understand it. All the animals who can't read or write know male and female, the difference and the usefulness, everything. Yeah.
And nobody had to break it down.
No. There is no perverted animal that I've ever seen, I've ever heard of. You know, I've never – they know. It's natural. But we're not natural all the way. Just think about that philosophy. We're not. We have a choice. We have a will. Ronald will probably tell you more about this, but you have a will. God gives you the will to make your own choices. And this is from the beginning of time, this has been happening. So I think that's kind of like a curse almost, because it's overtaking. That's a lifestyle now. Things like that are now a lifestyle. They're options for kids. And that's the bad thing, is getting into the schools. And the schools and the mama bears, and that's why the mama bears and papa bears are going out, and people are running for school boards. And I think that's a great thing. You got to do this. You have to figure out what's going on. So.
And there were gifts, and there are very few. But one of the positive outcomes, I think, from that experiment in tyranny and oppression that they call the COVID pandemic was the fact parents got open to what was going on with their kids with the Zoom meeting. And then they get really suspicious when they say, no, you don't want your mom and dad in the room when we're talking about this.
Yeah, right.
And they try to have them excluded from it.
Right.
And like I said, I've been in school business for 18 years, and my commitment to the kids that I work with is 110% that they're better. And if I had a child in school and they would be exposed to the things that kids are being exposed to today, and I'm not even going to say in the extremists, and you guys know what I'm talking about with this whole gender brainwashing, and what they're trying to do to these kids is, they don't know the difference between male and female when you're 6 years old. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about GI Joe. Think about trucks.
Right.
Best Box cars.
Yes.
Hot Wheels. But I wasn't thinking about what these people insist on making these kids think. Their minds are not ready for that. They're still jelly.
Right.
I mean, you shouldn't even be talking about this crap until you get them into college. Honestly, the average male's brain doesn't completely solidify until he's 25 years old.
It takes a lot of guts to want to win a girls' competition when you're a male. Think about the mindset. Think about that. Where did you get that from? How is that even fair?
It's about parity. You know, so that it's about winning. And if I can't beat and win over here with these dudes that are just, they're wiping the tennis court up with me every time I go out and play,
right,
or just dump me in the swimming pool, well.
But that's a big twist to get to that side, though, is what I'm trying to say. How do you...
They just they want to win. They don't want to win.
Right.
They're compete and win. Leah Thomas.
Yeah, I think so.
Eric Thomas, or the guy was that was swimming. He even admitted he was mailing it in when he beat all
these. Yeah.
And those records are going to stand.
Right, forever.
Somebody says, this is ridiculous. You're a guy, and you can't swim with the guys and win. You're crazy if you think we're going to let you swim with the girls.
Do you guys think it's going to happen in the NFL?
No. I don't think. I think it's too physical of a sport. I don't know.
The Carolina Panthers have a
kicker,
gender cheerleader.
Really?
There was a whole lot of fanfare about it, but I'm pretty sure the Panthers had some fella try out as a cheerleader and apparently made the team.
No,
I don't know if they're something transgender or if they really got there on their own merits or how that works. I'm not even interested.
So Ronald, is this to destroy tradition? Is this what this mission is?
All the foundations.
Right. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
That make America what it is. They
want
to sweep them away and replace them with something terrible.
Yeah.
Something really awful.
I agree. Totally agree. Brittany Griner. What's your opinion? We know Brittany's a guy. Brittany is not a female because there's a lot of topless pictures of him playing basketball. Now, okay, why would we even try to help? This is a good subject. Why would we try to help that person get back to the U.S. after what they did? You do the crime. It's like, what was the Beretta? You do the crime, then you got to do the time. Don't do it.
It worked out that way for him.
The moral of the story is.
What? I mean, because a lot drugs, a lot of narcotics violations.
Yeah. You get what you pay for, because that, I mean, you do.
Yeah. I understand the ability of the United States, you know, in terms of foreign policy.
Right.
They're trying to look out for our citizens abroad, even if they, you know, do something stupid, try to help them, or we want to at least project that image of trying to help them. But I'm like you, Kevin. You break the law.
They know they had it. The person knew they had it, and they were trying to hide it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have to know they're really against the law in places like that. And they said, anyway, well, I'm an American, and I'm going to worry about this.
I've been to other countries where they don't play. And that's just, this is one of my news, going to be a bad thing, because it doesn't work. You know, there are so many things that we take for granted. Other countries don't care. They don't care if they kill their own citizens. You fall asleep on guard duty, they will kill you. They will just shoot you. The laws are so stringent. We have it so easy here. We have like, well, we'll do this. They go letter to the letter to the letter to the letter in this country. And you have to get a lawyer. Okay, let me, one quick incident. We were over in Turkey, and somebody robbed a gas station. It was a national, but they blamed it on three black men. So they went on the base, got the first three black men on the roster, put them in jail. They couldn't get them out for months. That's what kind of law. Other countries don't think like us. They don't investigate. Oh, if he says it was that, then that's what it is. Back in the 50s, I know you're an old-time radio guy like I am. People are suspicious. That's the way they act. Oh, maybe you did it. Maybe you're guilty. You know what I'm talking about. That's what they do. They trust their own countrymen over any guest. And the law is against you because you're a foreigner. So it's not, and as I'm sure it's that way in Russia, and that's what happened. It got caught up in the system that doesn't play.
From where the, you know, whatever initial jail facility she was at. And
it's a penal colony.
Yeah, well, they're somewhere in Siberia. I mean,
yes, right.
And nobody knows where she is. She's in the pipeline, and the Russians aren't going to get that stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, how would show up? We have no clue where she's at, and I'm sure it ain't fun. I'm sure.
Right.
This will scar this person for life.
Yes, I agree. So, Ronald, let me ask you a question. Ronald, is it wrong for the president and other people to get on national TV and try to get somebody out who is a convicted criminal? What kind of message does that send back to the kids of our country? Because to some people, she's probably, or it's a hero for them. What kind of message does that send?
Well, if you go to another country and disrespect their laws and get away with it.
Yes, exactly. It's nothing we want to do or be caught doing. If I'm a federal official of the U.S., I would have said, oh, they get what they deserve. That's their laws, their country, has nothing to do with us. Deal with it. That's what you got to do. That's tough love. There is no patty cake and no deal making. They're not going to make a deal with you. Same thing if somebody did the same thing over here. You live by the laws. That includes everybody under this, our country banner, our sun. If you commit a law, a felony or something, you got to deal with that the way. And if you're a Democrat, ambassador's kid, it shouldn't make any difference. If you're wealthy, just like this FTX guy, Freed, he's not in jail yet. He just was questioned. There's something deeper behind it. There's people way at the top that are behind this, I think, in my opinion. So nobody's above the law except for politicians and people who are in office.
And
Democrats
make it
dumb. Yes.
I'll go a little bit further. It's unlikely that he will even see the inside of the jail cell.
Right.
And sometimes I think it's beyond a two-tier system of justice here. We're not supposed to say that. We're supposed to, you know, justice is blind and it's going to be balanced. It's going to be impartial. I think nowadays in the United States, especially probably going back to the time of O.J. Simpson, and justice is that which you can't afford.
Yes, exactly.
O.J. Simpson can afford a lot of justice. These guys, these people like the Whip, the Ron Brown from Enron, you remember the big Enron scam?
Yes, right.
And all these people, they can afford a lot of justice. And, you know, people's lives have been ruined. People's businesses have been ruined. Suicides went up. Psychological issues with depression increased. Alcohol and drug abuse increased. Domestic abuse increased.
Yeah, exactly.
And the people that did this, the people that did this, are the ones that the Atlantic crunch for, talking about a COVID amnesty.
Yes, right. Yeah, I know. No amnesty for you. No.
Okay?
Right.
These people can humanity.
Yes.
Look at what happened to me. Just forget about the rest of the world. Forget about the rest of the world. Mario Cuomo killed almost 18,000 people.
Wow.
I've seen the doctor, 18,000 people. It's probably more than that because they lied on their death toll when the numbers when they were being audited by probably the CDC. So the some federal, maybe the Department of Health and Human Services. He knew what was going to happen. They weren't even allowed to ask these people if they had COVID.
What?
And he sent them into these nursing homes. And it wasn't just New York. It was Michigan. It was Ohio. It was Pennsylvania. It was New Jersey. It was Virginia. It was Colorado. It was California. It happened all over the country. Our grandfathers, our grandmothers, our aunts and uncles, our brothers and sisters. Because not everybody who lives in a nursing facility is old. They may have medical issues that preclude them from staying at home because of the level of care needed, and they died. He sent them those orders, and he made sure that those people couldn't do anything to refuse them. And that's just one instance of what they pulled on us. Look at the businesses that were destroyed. Look at the marriages that were destroyed as a consequence of that.
Right, yeah.
All these kids are going to be screwed up, okay? I mean, it's criminal.
Have you guys watched this 35 hours of a grand jury? It's like a mock trial, but it's 35 hours of testimony. The first day was opening statements, it's 1 hour and 25 minutes. The historical background about COVID. Day 3 was the PCR test.
Mm-hmm.
Day 4 was about the injection. It's like more than 5 hours. A session. Financial destruction was day 5. Day 6 was eugenic and outlook. Day 7 was psychological and propaganda. Then the closing arguments was day 8. And this occurred between February and June of this year. 35 hours, 5 minutes of subject matter experts from all over the world talking about how this was planned, how this was implemented, how everything was just, it was a very well planned incident. And it takes a tremendous amount of time to watch everything, but it basically, Mr. Bostic, it's basically just illustrates and accentuates what you're mentioning here. This was a planned incident, and essentially it was a crime against humanity.
Right.
I can email it to you guys.
I agree.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. And what's going to be the outcome? We've all given great thought because of what we've been talking about to the level of devastation, financial, physical, spiritual, emotional. You know, it went a long way towards rending the fabric of the tapestry of our society. And where's our Nuremberg trial going to be for this? Who's going to stand for these processes?
That's already coming. They've already. That's being done in another country. And a friend of mine who's an attorney I had on the show a couple of times, he's actually saying they won't get away with this. You think that their exemption is going to work for the Nuremberg Code? It won't. Justice is going to come a little slow, but it's coming. All these people, Remdesivir, he's working on the Remdesivir cases right now. They have no recourse. They know it kills people and it has the people that survive it are very lucky. I have a friend who survived the Remdesivir. It was on a ventilator and she got off, which is very rare. Our friend passed away because of that, from Rock the Red.
I'm sure there's probably nobody in the country that doesn't know, and I mean know someone close, that died from this. And the, if I've got the initials right, it's the Vaccine Adverse Effect.
VAERS, yeah.
Reporting. Yeah, okay. What's been happening? Nobody says anything about it.
Right.
You know, with the advent of the vaccines, you know, we're seeing skyrocketing rates of people dying who otherwise shouldn't be dying.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's all these things are happening and accelerating. Things are getting worse. And they keep saying the same story over and over again. It's safe and effective, but it doesn't matter if it's safe.
I don't know if you know this guy, West Department of Health, so the Secretary.
Yes.
Javier Becerra said back in April.
What did he say?
That basically, vaccines. We know that vaccines are killing people of color. Black, Latino, indigenous people at about 2 times the rate of white Americans.
Mm-hmm.
He said this back in April, April 14th. Basically, it was at a convening on equity virtual summit. I have the YouTube link. It's still there.
Wow.
This is what he said. And when he said this, he said this to Susan Rice, who is Biden's policy advisor.
Yeah, he reused everybody from the Obama administration, rehashed him.
Yeah. But this is what he said.
That's whoa.
And nobody said, hey, Secretary, you want to back that up?
Right.
You want to clarify that? Is it that there in this particular? Nobody objected. Nobody corrected him.
Wow.
It's still on the White House's official YouTube channel.
Yeah, I remember that came up. And they got a lot of negative comments and thumbs down for everything they put out there. But yeah, I got to check that out. I'm going to welcome Mr. Doobie Walden. President, Marine, always a Marine, Marine. James, do you know Doobie?
No, I don't, but it's good to meet
you. Well, Ronald, Doobie is hey, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a Marine, third generation, conservative, big in the fight against illegal immigration. I lost my 21-year-old son to an illegal in Maryland in 2017. Sad at the condition of our country and trying to do something to change it. Whatever I can do. And I noticed, like, when I came in, you were talking about the vaccines. I was at my doctor's office yesterday. And the nurse told me that her best friend's husband got the vaccine, and 5 days later, he was dead.
Really?
Yeah. And he just so happened to be a man of color.
I think that's why a lot of blacks are not taking it. They're the most.
I think it's going to be a lot of people aren't taking
it. Yes, you're right. You're finding out. They're pushed hard in the black community, by the way.
They forced an unvetted vaccine on us. Even Pfizer admitted that they skipped the human trial.
Yes, yeah, right. They did. These are facts.
How are you going to force me to inject something into my body that you have no idea what the short-term or long-term effects of that vaccine are? That's insanity.
It's like guns. As Sue Remington has said, of the person that went crazy.
Yeah,
yeah.
They went crazy and shot somebody.
They
went
to Remington. But you can sue
Remington.
But you can't sue Pfizer.
Well, you know that Paul Pelosi incident with the hammer?
Right.
Yeah.
Outlaw
hammer.
Yeah.
There.
Right.
I don't see anybody suing Stanley.
Right. It was Harbor Freight, by the way.
I don't know. Oligarch, however you want to say it. We have gotten so far from a democratic republic that most people don't even know what it means anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, whatever happened to a government for the people, by the people, you know, that old thing.
For the wealth.
Us. What happened to representing us instead of your own interests? The people. Now they're throwing people out of the military.
Right.
They are weakening our national defense.
Right.
The United States military used to be the most feared military in the world, all right, for good reason. And now, in front of the entire world, we're throwing people out of our military because they refuse a vaccine, or throwing them out of the military because they're a MAGA, you know, a MAGA person. And I don't know, open transgenderism in the military. I know, Kevin, you were in the military. I don't know if the other two gentlemen were. But the military is not the civilian world. It's just not. Okay, you don't get up every morning and go to your job at Caterpillar and expect the guy next to you to put his life in your hands. Do you put yours in his? Okay. You go to work, you do your 9-to-5, you go home. You're not putting your life in that man's hands. And I find it very difficult, and found it very difficult when I was active duty, to put my life in somebody's hands that I did not trust.
Right, right.
And I'm sorry, you know, I'm old-fashioned, maybe I'm wrong. But I just can't put my trust in a guy standing in the hole next to me dressed like a woman.
No, you're right.
If that makes me wrong, then wrong I is. You know?
Hey, Doobie, I remember when Obama was president, that actually happened in the military where people had the opportunity to cross-dress. It was rare, but it did happen. And you know, you're eating with these guys, you're sleeping with the guys, you work with them. When you're on a deployment, you work with the same guys all the time. You don't, you're one big family. And sometimes you get tired of seeing those people. But it's not the place to put it. You have a mission to do, and your job relies on you. You don't have time to put on a wig or anything or to act anything out. You got to be there ready to deliver. My case is big airplanes. I don't have time for that stuff. This is wrong. This is wrong to bring to the military because it has nothing to do with social. You have no life of your own. You do what you're told, right?
That's right.
You don't have a choice.
It's not a democracy in the military.
Right. It's a dictatorship.
It's not a democracy.
Right.
It's definitely a place of social
experiments. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had a Navy corpsman.
Navy, of course.
Irregardless, obviously,
right.
He was a little like the loaf, okay?
Well,
we were sleeping in modified open squat bays. Okay. The only thing that wasn't open, we had, you know, a wall locker.
Yes.
Dividing us from the next bay open. And 10 o'clock at night, I come in and this guy's in the hallway. I walk by him, I go to my room. He follows me down there. And I was like, "Hey Doc, how you doing?" You know, I went into my little area, sat out, and he comes and stands in the doorway. So we're chit-chatting, you know, and then all of a sudden he just walks over and grabs me by my jib.
No way.
Whoa.
No.
I picked up a cowboy boot that was sitting next to me on the floor and hit him in the forehead with it. Well, all of a sudden he's gone from our aid station. I reported it to Naval Investigative Services. Never heard a word. 3 years later, they come to me and they said, "We need you to testify at a hearing." Now, I show up, and there's 3 other Marines in full dress uniform, like me, to testify at this guy's court martial. It had been changed to 3 different aid stations after he had left mine.
Wow.
So there's 4 of us. We're all accusing him of the same thing. One poor guy, he was a young 17-year-old, 18-year-old PFC, woke up, and this guy was performing oral sex on him. Now, we all testified, and the judge comes to the conclusion that we all got together and made these stories up.
Oh, no.
And I was never done. That's... I never heard of any of these other 3 guys. I didn't know them. I didn't see them in the chow hall. I never knew they existed. I never knew there was other people that had charges against them. But that
was
the beginning of where we are now in our military.
Right.
What year was that? Pardon? What year was that? That would have been in about 86. Yeah, that would have been about 86. I was at Camp Lejeune at 2nd Marine Division.
So Clinton was president at that time. Was he president then?
86, that was still being Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan was still.
Yeah, Reagan.
Reagan was still. But I just, you know, I think about that every time I see anything nowadays with them talking about, you know, making our military a joke. And you've got people like Millie who are running it.
Right.
I don't know about anybody else, but I cannot look at that man and take him seriously as a 4-star general.
Right. He's a puppet.
I'm sorry. My 4-star general was Al Gray, who was once the commandant of the Marine Corps. Okay, he started out, he was my commanding general at 2nd Marine Division when he was still a 2-star. And that man was hard as nails. He ran battalion PT runs, and they were 20-year-old guys falling out, and this 60-year-old man's up front leading. That's a general.
Right.
Clown.
I agree.
And the world, it's not just us that sees this. You don't think every terrorist organization in the world
is
watching?
Afghanistan.
Look at the withdrawal of it. Look at the withdrawal in Afghanistan.
Oh.
The whole world saw us step on our trench. I'm sorry. And you don't think they're sitting back just rubbing their hands together and licking their lips?
Oh, yeah.
The American public is so blind and stupid as to think that another attack on American soil is impossible. They're crazy. We thought it was impossible when they blew up the Twin Towers. And if they think it can't happen again, they better think again. I'm sorry, but, you know, I stock up on ammo on a monthly basis.
Well, and, you know, everybody talks about the immigration system being broken, and that's a misnomer. It's working exactly the way they want it.
Right. Hey, especially... I was going to ask Ronald, since he lives in California. They get it heavy down there. Everybody, you probably speak... Are you bilingual? Yes. Mr. Owens?
Oh, really?
I mean, you're...
You should have saw,
yeah.
You should have seen the ballet. It was like a book.
Really?
I mean, it was English. But yeah, it was thick as a book.
Really?
Yeah, I just wanted to think about what you said, Jenny. Guarding the border, yes. That's exactly how they want it to work. Insofar as weakening the military, that's what the intent is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to experiment socially, but to weaken the military.
Biden said it. When Biden was campaigning, he came out and said he was going to open the border.
Yeah.
He said it during the debate.
Yeah.
And people were surprised that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but this guy, I'm going to vote for this Biden because this other guy, he tweets.
Yes. I love it.
Oh, mean. I'll take a mean tweet and $2.50 gas any day.
We're paying
$6 a day. Well, I know he just announced that he's going to run again. And
did he fight?
No, Trump.
Trump did, yes.
Yeah. Last night he made it.
I really hope that the people he surrounds himself with restrain him just a little bit.
Right, that too.
He needs people that he can trust, and I don't think he had a whole lot of that the first time. Oh,
turn their back on
him. Yeah, I agree, but there should be a level of restraint. I know where you're going with that, and I think you're right.
Yeah.
There are people who can't look past image. Okay, and Donald Trump has, I don't really care about any of that stuff. I'm like, dude, look how well we were doing 2 years ago.
Right.
2 years ago. Look how much money the average family has lost in that 2 years. And that clown is eating ice cream, saying it's a great economy.
Look at the border.
Yeah, right.
The most secure border that we've ever had.
Exactly. Yeah.
He was a racist, fascist, homophobe, xenophobe, blah, 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 whatever other slur that they could come up with for him. And the term that just makes me want to shoot myself in the head is we need a path to citizenship.
Right.
Well, unless you're a complete idiot. We have one.
Yes, we do.
It's called the election process.
No, I'm talking
about it. It's a euphemism to say we need to change our voter base.
Yep.
That's all. That's what the pathway to citizenship means, a pathway to solidifying
voting
for
the
Democratic power and purpose.
Well, I mean, it's been proven that in the 2016 election, Trump got more votes from the Hispanic community and more votes in the black community than any Republican ever had. Okay? And throughout his 4-year term, he gained more respect from those communities. Lowest unemployment in the history of the
United States
for blacks, Hispanics, Asians. And now, what do the Democrats do? Oh, shit, our voter base is gone. You know, we don't have people that come to us, you know, to feed them and clothe them and, you know, hand them out. So what do? Let's flood the country with a bunch of illegals that we're going to give welfare, free phones, free medical, you know, free transportation anywhere in the country they want to go.
Martha's Vineyard.
And who are they going to vote for? And give them the right to vote. On top of that, let's give them the right to vote.
Well, check this out. Biden's supposed to have got all these votes. On October 24th, 2020, Biden had a campaign stop at Bristol, Pennsylvania. And I actually counted. There were pumpkins that were all over the stage that was near Halloween. I counted the pumpkins. 24 pumpkins and 20 people. There were more pumpkins.
I love it.
That's an awareness of
20 people, yes, we're told that Biden is so popular that he won more, got more votes than Barack Obama. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The court vote. The court vote.
The court was in Pennsylvania that they just reelected a dead guy?
A dead guy. He's out with you.
Oh.
And Fetterman.
It was all legal.
Might as well get that guy. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
No
brainer.
This
was
like,
right.
There's no business being a congressman or a senator.
Well, but he's a vote. He's there. He'll vote whatever.
Go ahead, Ron. Oh, okay.
It was good to see you again, Ron. I was on with you the last time. Good to see
you again.
Yes, sir. I remember. Nice to meet you, Ms. Rowan.
Yes,
sir.
Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Ron. James?
Yeah,
I know your name. I know your name. Why do I recognize it?
Well, Devin and I are on a radio network called Patriot Nation Radio Network, and I'm a host of a radio show called Conservative Respect.
And?
Did you do Radio Row out in D.C.?
No, I didn't.
You guys both know Donna, okay? And what's the other guy? John DeLemmy. Yeah, that's where that's one.
I was down at John's event 2 years ago.
Yeah, we were at the same event. I spoke down there, and he was one of the featured people too. So yeah, we run in a small circle, kind of. So that's cool.
I recognized your name, and I thought maybe I had bumped into you at an event somewhere.
You probably have. Probably have. And I think, I don't know, you've probably seen him here and there. James gets around. So James is also part of the Civil War reenactment. He's big there.
This is my claim to fame. I got two claims to fame. In terms of Civil War reenacting, it's not mine, but I'm responsible for the care of it. A full-scale three-inch ordnance gun. And a Civil War reenactment 25 years. And I'm the last guy since the actual Battle of Lewisburg to blow out a window downtown with a gun. My blood was up, man. It was just this narrow street, and you were fighting back and forth, and it really looks good because the battle pushed back and forth through the actual town. And our gun is placed firmly in the center of town, right in the intersection of 219 north and south, and Route 50 east and west, and we're pointed north, pointed east, rather, looking up the hill, and I called for double canister. And I didn't really take into account that crack from the powder and the building windows, which were really close by the street. I shattered a window in some lawyer's office on the second floor, and I think it was like, it might have been an original window. I don't know if it was from back in that time, but it was a window that was so old, you can see these old windows, and it looks like they're dripping. You know,
yeah.
Where the, yes,
right.
So then last summer at Rock the Red, when they rescheduled it because of the COVID thing, we took the gun down there and we did demonstrations for the folks at it was a Hilton, wasn't it? Yeah, the Hilton.
It's General Flynn was there, correct?
Yeah, one of the speakers was General Mike Flynn. And we asked him if he would, you know, work with us and pull the lanyard at one of the demonstrations. Of course, he was really cool about it, and they did. And, you know, the question is, who gives Lieutenant General's orders? Both presidents of the United States.
Yeah.
And me. I'm the guy that told him to fire the gun.
Yeah.
He was an Mike. I mean, he was tremendous. He was a great speaker. You know, you were his too. And it was a lot of fun. Those of Dance the Rock Red are a lot of fun. We had a great time.
I've always been, I don't know what the correct word would be, I've always been amazed by the Civil War reenactors and people who do the medieval reenactors.
Mm-hmm.
We have Renaissance fairs. We have a big one of those here. And one of my buddies.
Where are you at, Jimmy?
Peoria, Illinois.
Okay.
Right dead center of the state.
Central Virginia and Molly country.
Yeah. We got to do that again.
A friend of my daughter, her family, her husband, her kids are all into the Renaissance reenactment. And I went out there with them a couple of times. The food's great, by the way. I don't know about all the reenactment stuff, but the food's great. And the grill.
I'm going to a Renaissance reenactment wearing Starfleet uniforms.
Oh.
If they have one around here, the next time they have it, I got a couple of guys. And then we'll take a red shirt with us to see if we can't talk him into skewering him with a lance or something. Or, you know, this guy's always got.
Well, the guy in the red shirt's dead, by the way.
So we got to take one because I'm not going to die.
Transport people.
To go down to the foreign planet, you look at your shirt first.
Right.
In a red shirt, it's dead.
Yeah. So I told him there was something to worry about.
Yeah.
You'll be fine, fella.
Kevin, what are we talking about anyway?
We're talking about anything and everything. I think we only have 20 minutes left. What if you want to talk about? Current events, what's going on? We talked about FTX. We talked about Paul Pelosi for a second.
No, I'm not sure. I saw something today that they said Kerry Lake lost in Arizona.
Yes.
Yeah, the Secretary of State.
This is so funny.
How is that possible?
The Secretary of State, Katie Hill, has reviewed the votes and determined that Katie Hill won the election vote.
She's the Secretary of State. She was the opponent.
Yes, but the entire night, it was like Kerry Lake 74% to 36%.
Yes. It's all rigged.
Well, when you have as much time as you need to find the number of votes you got
right.
to have, what the hell is it?
That's just
it's a voting season these days. It's not election
season.
What is this, 17th? This is the 17th of the month, and voting day is November 8th. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at it this way. If you go another week or so and you get your number, why not go another week till it changes again? So where do you stop?
Yeah.
Just enough to get, you know, that's where it doesn't make any sense. And Ohio did it in one day. So.
The Powerball was, there were like 3 billion tickets sold. When they threw that number, within 30 minutes, they knew exactly what person had purchased that ticket.
Right, right.
And where they had purchased it. And
yeah. Yes.
They can do that in 30 minutes.
They had trouble with the tabulating machine. You know, that's the excuse.
The polls open. 2 minutes.
Yes. They found more votes.
Had machines down. They were turning people away, telling them to go to another precinct. There was one lady that Ben Merquam interviewed. She had 3 ballots in her hand. They'd all been rejected. She tried to vote 3 times, and they rejected her ballot every time. And they wouldn't tell her why they rejected the ballot.
Right, because people that went to the precinct with their ballot. Yeah. There are people that went with their mail-in ballot, and they said, oh, you already voted, so you can't vote, and they got escorted out. This happened all over the country.
Back in Rock Creek, they had near 2,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen
parts of that, yes.
That's
why I
was like,
no.
Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go back.
Oh, It was an eye opener, and the people. It was just. I think everybody kind of had the same reaction that I did, because it was just.
Yeah.
I was just struck dumb. There were no words. And we just kind of looked around the table, looked at Claire, looked at Don, looked at Gary, and you know, every time there was just this new revelation, and it's like.
Yes.
Was, and this was just—they were really basically focused on just the whole map in that, you know, in the metropolitan land area where all these people were working, harvesting the ballast.
Right there in Fulton County, exactly.
Because the Secretary of State has paid off. That's why, you know, Raffensperger. That's what it is.
It's scary. You know, with the way our election system is right now, I'm not sure that the Republican Party is even going to exist in 10 years.
We've got to do something about this voting system.
You know, and the last time I was on, Kevin, we had a gentleman that was on, can't remember his name, but he was big into electronic voting.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
They got to come up with this electronic voting system.
David Frank.
Has it not been proven time and time again that anything can be hacked? I don't care how you do it. If there's a computer involved in it, it can be hacked.
Okay, you're right. And Ohio is still pure now because you have two choices. You can do paper, you can do computer, and you don't see this, and everything gets done in the same day. And I've never seen anything wrong with. But I don't trust computers. I did the paper one, but Ohio seems to be right on. And there's a lot of states still out there that are like that. But you got Arizona, New York, Pennsylvania, and all these other states. You know, Illinois, your state, California. I mean, it's a religion. To get their people in, it doesn't matter how much you cheat.
Was all paper ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Mine too. It was an electronic machine, but the big end product was a printout of what you voted.
Right.
They literally handed me a paper ballot.
And you checked it off.
And I put it in the little boxes, and I scanned it at the end.
Right.
Well, there's the hacking point.
Yes, that is.
I scanned it in. Okay. And I realized that the manpower that it would take to count votes one at a time by paper. Okay, there has to be some form of system.
Scantron.
I don't know. Who you get? Go find the best hackers in the world and have them build the system.
How many elections do we have in this country running paper ballots?
Right, yeah. Paying Chad.
And I don't think it took any days to get the result.
No.
I don't think it took any days to get the result.
Right.
You know?
It's so obvious, you know. So obvious.
I don't know. Like I said earlier, I'm very cautious about my future. It's very much in doubt. All of our futures are very much in doubt right now. And I've done a lot of podcasts. I've been to a lot of places to speak out against the
Yes, you have.
Rock the Ring was one of the places that I wanted to go. Don tried to get me into a speaking position, and he couldn't. The problem with all these places that I've been, other than the congressional subcommittees, but all the podcasts I've done, all the radio interviews I've done, all the personal appearances I've done, I'm speaking to a crowd of conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
They already know my name.
Right.
We need to find a way to speak to the people who don't want to hear what we have to say. Because the term preaching to the choir,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like Feet to the Fire out in D.C., I've done Feet to the Fire twice. And it's all conservative radio hosts, it's all conservative podcasters, and their audience are all conservative people. And I find that the problem with conservatives is they don't want to stand up and make noise. They expect somebody else to do that. They want to say, hey, that's wrong and it shouldn't be that way. But they don't want to come up publicly and speak against it. They don't want to get up on a platform and say, hey, this is what I believe, because they're scared they're going to get blackballed. You know, they're going to get, you know, canceled. Well, I don't know. I guess I'm uncancelable.
Well, you know, it goes back in Kevin and I were talking about this at the very start of the show. Nixon talked about it, and it's that great silent majority.
Yep.
And I believe in it. I really do. But and what you're talking about, dude, that's what created it. That fear of marginalization, of cancellation, you know, of being blackballed and blacklisted simply because you love your country, and there's no other you can call it good. And that's why they do it. And it's always a surprise to the Democrats when they're moved to do so, and that silent majority comes up and smacks them down. And I second that. I still believe in it. I don't know where they've been, and if they don't wake up here soon, the problems that we have now are going to be compounded to a point that,
I have a lot of friends that tell me how sorry they feel for me about Jimmy and how bad they think the immigration system is. And I say, that's fine. Come with me. Come on. I'm going to D.C. I'm going to speak. Come with me. Well, I can't. No, I can't. Why? If you're against it, raise your voice. You know, the squeaky wheel gets grease.
Right.
I love the memory of this country, because right now that's what it is. This is not the country that I fought to defend. You know, this is not the country that I spent 10 years of my life in the Marine Corps over. This is not the country that I grew up in. You know, and I understand times change, things change, but generally, over time, things get better. You learn new things, okay? You improve. We're on the exact opposite trajectory. We're going downhill. We're going to slip on a slope to socialism. And if they think socialism is so great, then go live in Venezuela. See how you like it. You know, don't buy a pair of shoes without trying them on. Take yourself to Venezuela, live down there for 4 or 5 years, and then when they tell you you belong to them and you can't leave, and that you have to stay there, see how that goes.
Absolutely.
Your high blood pressure medicine and your insulin.
Or your credit score. Social credit score doesn't allow you. That's coming.
Just food.
Yes.
You know, they're eating their pets.
Yes, they are.
I mean, come on. And that's what you want. Well, and I have a young gentleman that was good friends with my son that preaches this socialism regime.
Really?
And he's actually a white-collar guy, makes, you know, a buttload of money, works for Caterpillar, he's white-collar, he's a computer engineer. And I said, you're going to give up half, three-quarters of everything you make to give to somebody else? Well, I don't care about that. I mean, I'll give up some of my money. And I said, Joey, have you ever looked at the history of Venezuela? Well, they didn't do democratic socialism.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, you can put whatever pronoun you want in front of it. It's still something.
Right.
Collectivism with sprinkles.
Yeah. It sounds good.
you just can't talk to him. He's a 20-something. He's going to be 27 or 28. And he came through college in that time when they you know, they were indoctrinating people. They weren't teaching.
Right. Yeah, they're not how to think. This is what to think.
Yes, right.
I was. You can't reason with them. You can't. You can give them cold, hard facts, and they'll still argue. You tell them the sky's blue, and they'll say, no, it's not. It's a shade of green. If you mix teal with this and that, then you get that.
Brilliant.
And that's the reason.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I get so frustrated. I don't even the subject of anything with Joey anymore. He was my friend, my son's best friend from kindergarten until the day my son died. I mean, he grew up in my house. You know, there was four of them that hung together from kindergarten until getting passed. And I love them all to death. I like my own kids. And three out of the four have common sense. And the one, the smartest of them all, the one with the highest IQ, the best job, the best everything, is a complete idiot.
College. It's college. I know.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what they teach. Communism is better than evil capitalism. I graduated in 2017. That's all I heard. Everything's social justice and labeling yourself. And I thought it didn't make any sense. I don't know if you see that in your school or not, but that's the way things are going now. People have lost their minds.
What is equity?
Right. There's no such thing as equity because it's impossible.
I have to live in my house.
Equal rights are guaranteed at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You are guaranteed an equal chance at your dream.
Right.
You are not guaranteed an equal outcome.
No. Okay. Everybody gets the same breaks when they start. It's up to you to get done what you want to do.
Right.
Stop blaming capitalism. Stop blaming white supremacists. Stop making sure
that
you fail to accomplish your dreams. Okay? That's on you.
Yeah.
If you had a shot,
you got the same shot everybody else got.
Right, right.
These guys made it, but you didn't.
And they got these kids coming out of college. They got these kids coming out of college, and their mindset is, I've got 4 years of college, and I have a degree in this. I should be hired on as the CEO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. People think like that, yeah.
Well, everyone, as a bad example, they don't want to start in the mailroom. You know, they want to start on the board of directors. You know, they want to be the CEO, the CFO, one of them C's. And they don't understand what sweat equity is.
Yeah, right.
I worked in a family business my whole life, other than when I was in the Marine Corps. My father started the drywall business when I was born in 1963. And in 1972, they switched over and started building houses. That's the way I grew up. Okay, when I left the Marine Corps at 17 years old, when I got out, I took a pay cut. I was making more money as a sergeant in the Marine Corps than my dad would pay me when I first came back to work. He said, you got to prove yourself. He said, wait, you think you're going to come out and I'm just going to pay you $20 an hour? No. He said, you're going back to work for $8.50 an hour until you prove to me that you can do the work.
Nice.
Luckily, I did. Great way to go. Mike Rowe from Mike Rowe Works, the Visitor's Job Show.
Yeah.
That man has done more to promote work ethics than anybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls no punches. He said, you know, you don't have to go to college. You don't have to afford your degree. He goes, you can become an electrician and make $75,000 a year wiring bills. And you're not $125,000 in debt to a college. But they don't want to do that. They don't want a job. They want a paycheck. They don't want to work for it.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're talking about work. What you're talking about is right off the dental.
And something my dad used to say, and this is going to come off really bad, okay?
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Remember, this came from my father's generation. He said, people like that think that manual labor is the president of Mexico.
God.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yep. So people that have that. Manuel
Weber
is the president of
Mexico. Right. Right. All right, guys. We only have 5 minutes left. I'm sorry I didn't leave you guys here mercilessly. I know you got stuff to do. And thank you, Jimmy, for coming on. I'll tell you what. I'm going to have you on. I'll have you on more often. Oh, no, you're good. No, you're good. James, I'll have you on occasion. I'll have you on as a guest or something. I like having a sidekick. And then Doobie, you're on a lot of my programs, and I appreciate you and what you stand for and what you stand for. Yeah.
Will we have adult debate?
Yeah.
Without calling each other names or anything like that, we just talk.
Yeah, we have that. Oh, no. Anytime you want to come on, you let me know. I like having guests. I have good guests, and I love having them speak. Huh? Yeah.
Doobie Walden is my Facebook.
Doobie Walden. And he's friends with Sabine. You know Sabine, right?
Sabine Goldberg, yeah.
Yeah, they speak together.
Mm-hmm. What a story.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she was also just down at Mar-a-Lago for Trump's announcement. She's
invited
there 2 weeks earlier for another function of some kind. She went home, and 2 weeks later, she went back down to Mar-a-Lago.
See, James, these are the people, the friends that we have that go to the White House or they go to Congress. Like it's nothing. So. I enjoy having both of you on. James, yeah, we'll get together again. And Doobie, see you around the block.
Very
good.
And great evening. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you so much. Cool.
You should see my new tattoo. I just posted, so you have to look that one up first.
I'll have to do that.
All right, brothers. You guys take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks a lot. James, you can stay. You're a pro radio host. I'm going to close the show out. So, yeah. Thank you, James. You're like I think you're the one of the first that asked me on your show. So I appreciate that. And
yeah,
Donna,
we were on the cutting edge. Great stuff.
I think we are. I think we are. And it's pretty nice. Yes.
And I'm happy, and I'm excited to see it.
So, yeah, I don't know how you end your show. I can't remember. But this is the end of the American Legion show, your host, Kevin White, along with James Bostic, another guest. We had great discussions, and we'll see you next week, next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We're going to do it again. And who knows? My original guest had to have surgery, emergency surgery, so that's why I made it what it is right now. So you're my backup. Thank you. Anyway. All right. Thank you very much. Everybody have a good night and God bless America. Thank you. In the broadcast.
That was great, man. I had a terrific time.
Me too. It was awesome. I could do this. Let's do it. We can schedule this again for another time. And
sure.
Then I could bring in, all depends on what I talk about. I can bring in other people. Feel free to chime in. I'll give you the links. And who was that? Oh, good. Good.
Like I said, I'm in my own antiquated way of thinking because I'm a radio.
Right, right.
I started out working at a contemporary Christian FM station that our